So, when you were in school, and some of you are still there, when you were in school, you remember that one of the very first things that you learned were your ABCs, right? Because the ABCs, they are the foundation of everything else that you're going to learn in school. Your ABCs are the if you're going to know what words are, you got to know what the ABCs are. If you're going to be able to know what sentences are, you got to have the ABCs. Those are the foundation blocks upon which everything else that you learn in school is going to be built. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. The parable of the soils has different names. But when Jesus tells this parable to talk about this sower, Jesus tells us that this parable is the foundational parable to all the other parables that he's going to tell. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, Jesus asks the question. He says, do you understand this parable? How will you understand all of the other parables if you don't understand this parable? He wants us to know that this parable we're going to look at this morning is that ABCs of the parables. It's that foundation of the parables to say, here's what we need to know. Here's some concepts. Here's some foundation principles that we need to have in order to better understand the other parables Jesus is going to tell. He tells more than 30 parables that you're going to read in Scripture. So here's maybe your most familiar parable, but a parable that we need to know. So I want you to get your Bibles out this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 13 to the verses that are on the screen. And I realize our time is limited. So if you'll go to Matthew 13, we're going to work through this rather rapidly. And then the lesson is going to be yours this morning. But the first thing I want to do before we actually focus in on Matthew chapter 13 is just talk about parables for a second. Why did Jesus teach in parables? And before we answer that question, we just need to ask the question, what's a parable? You know, do you use that word anywhere else? I mean, when you go to lunch today and you're ordering lunch, are you going to talk to the person who brings your dinner about your lunch about parables? I mean, when you go to the gas station, y'all go get drinks at the gas station. You get those fountain drinks at the gas station. When you go in to get your drink, are you going to talk to them about parables? I mean, we don't talk about parables anywhere else but where? Church. Right? But what's a parable? If you look at the Greek word, and the Greek word is very much like the English word. It starts with the same letters, P-A-R-B. It starts with that parallel concept. And what the Greek term means is that something has been thrown down alongside something else. So there's something that we know and we understand. And so there's something that's thrown down alongside of it in order to compare it, in order to better understand something. I don't know if this is going to work, but here's something I want to do for these lessons on the parables, maybe to visualize what these are, is I'm going to bring a separate speaker stand up here on the stage, okay? I don't want this to trip you out, all right? But what a parable is a parable is an earthly story. This is how we define a parable sometimes, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What does that mean? A parable is when you take something and you throw it alongside so that you better understand something else. The parables that Jesus tells are visual. The parables that Jesus tells are things that people would understand. He talks, remember the prodigal son? You know the story of the prodigal son. It's so descriptive. You could almost probably tell the whole story of the prodigal son. That part, why? Because it's a message. But the story that Jesus tells about the prodigal son is not just so that we know the prodigal son. It's for the heavenly meaning of it. Remember the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan? What does he do? He lays down an earthly story in telling about the Good Samaritan. But when he tells the earthly story, is that his whole point? No, his point is to tell, here are some spiritual truths. Here are some spiritual concepts about a good Samaritan and how somebody goes and does for others. That's his point. But what he does is he tells a story in order to get there. Remember the story of the 10 virgins. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple. I mean, you think about all of these parables, the story about the persistent widow. His point was not to talk about a widow and her persistence, but was to illustrate a spiritual truth, a heavenly truth. It tells us how often we ought to pray. So I want you to think about that this morning, and maybe that helps to visualize what a parable is. But why did he teach in parables? Look in verse 11, Matthew chapter 13. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Jesus says to his disciples, because it has been given to you, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He talks in parables so that those who have honest hearts will have the truth revealed to them. But look at the rest of the verse. But to them it has not been given. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Why are you teaching in parables, Jesus? Verse 13. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand. How can you see something and not see it? You know, it has confused wives for centuries. How some men can hear things, but not hear it. How is it possible for somebody to see something but not see it? Hear something but not hear it. What's going on? Is it mean that something's wrong with our eyes and we need to get glasses? Was Jesus talking to people and saying, you know what, you need to check your batteries because your batteries aren't working. If you put new batteries in, maybe you'll be able to hear what I'm saying. Was it something wrong with their batteries? That their hearing aids weren't working? No. Nothing wrong with the eyes, nothing wrong with the ears. The problem was with the heart. That they weren't allowing anything in. And so Jesus taught in parables. Are these difficult stories? The story of the prodigal son, the story of the Good Samaritan. Is that a hard, very easy story? Well, how could it be so hard to understand it? Because I don't want to. Do you ever tell your children something that was pretty easy and they acted like it was pretty hard? What do you mean? What are you trying to say? And you're like, you're not that dumb. You understand exactly what I'm saying. You're just not letting it in. You're not opening your mind. That's why Jesus taught in parables. People who wanted to understand, they can understand. People who don't want to understand, well, then they'll just continue not to understand. So I want to spend some time for just a couple minutes. Once you get to Matthew 13, I want us to look at this parable. Jesus says that this parable is the foundational parable. He says, in order to understand these other parables, you need to know this parable. And I know that our time is limited, but here's what I want to do this morning. Is I want us to look at this parable in four different ways, okay? And what we're going to do, this parable has a ton of different ways that you could look at it, but I want to kind of preach four sermons to you, but I'm only going to preach a four-minute sermon four times. All right, is that okay? Maybe 4.5 minutes. Don't time me. But we're going to come at this passage four different ways, four different sermons, four different lessons perhaps that Jesus is wanting us to get, but we're only going to do this for about 4.5 minutes. Here's the first thing. Here's what we normally call this. We normally call this the parable of the sower. When was the last time you used the word sower? Not talking about what you do with a sowing machine. That's a different word. When's the last time you used the word sower? What does it mean? This is the parable of the sower. Let's start with the earthly story that Jesus tells. Jesus tells a story beginning in verse 3. Look back in Matthew 13 and verse 3. He tells about a sower who went out to sow the seeds. And when this man was sowing seeds, the Bible tells us that he was scattering seeds wherever he went, because that's what a sower does. A sower has a job. And his job was just to, it's in his name, his job was just to sow, to just go out and sow the seeds. And he knew the more seeds that he would sow, the more results that he would end up with. So Jesus tells a story about a sower. Why does he do that? What's the heavenly meaning behind Jesus talking about a sower? Well, you have to ask the question, who's the sower? Who's Jesus talking about? Ultimately, Jesus is the sower, isn't he? Jesus is the master teacher. John 3 and verse 2, that's what Nicodemus called Jesus. That he's a teacher come from God. He's the ultimate sower. But he's not the only sower. Brother and sister in Christ, he's talking about us. When Jesus tells the parable of the sower, He's talking about me, and he's talking about you. We have a job as Christians. The word sower that's used here, Matthew 13 and verse 3, you look at it, and if you go back to school again, you learn the ABCs in school, you go back to school again, you might look at the word sower and think, well, that's a noun. If I were to ask you what part of speech it was, you would say, well, it's a noun. It's like accountant. It's like teacher. It's like driver. It's like a man. It's like woman. It's a noun. It might be in the English, but in the Greek, it's not. The word sower in the Greek is a verb. And it's a present tense verb. That's interesting. It might not be interesting to you. It's interesting to me. Because he's not just saying, here's a name for you to wear. He's saying, here's a job for you to do. And the heavenly meaning of this parable is, that's me and that's you. That I need to be constantly and regularly sowing the seed. Constantly and regularly teaching others. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? I planted, Apollos watered, and then what'd God do? God just sitting around doing nothing? No, God gave the increase. But what I need to do is keep doing my job. Can I ask you this morning? How many seeds did you sow this past week? That's our job. We're sowers. We are sowing people. Did we sow seeds this last week? When we think about walking with Jesus this year, how many seeds will I sow today? You're not sowing seeds right now. We're worshiping God right now. But when we leave here, how many seeds am I going to sow for the Lord? How many seeds will I sow for the rest of the week? Parable number two. And it's the same parable, but come at it from a different vantage point. The first way to look at this is to think about it as the parable of the sower. And you're looking at the man. You're looking at what the man is doing. But what is he sowing? I want you to think about this as the parable of the seed. Not just the parable of the sower, but what about the parable of the seed? What's going on in Matthew chapter 13? What's going on with the seed? What's the earthly story? This sower is going out and he is scattering this seed where? Where is he scattering the seed? On every soil. We're going to talk about the soil in just a minute. But he's scattering that seed on every soil that he comes to. He comes to different soils. Does he change seeds when he gets to different soils? No. It's the same seed. He's out scattering seed and he's scattering the same seed on every soil. He doesn't adjust the seed. Oh, well, this soil is a little bit different. Let me tweak this seed to see if it'll fit this soil. He doesn't change the seed to fit a soil. It's the same seed. He's going out and sowing this seed on every soil. It's the same seed on every soil. And the same seed has the same power on every soil it comes to. The seed does not determine the power. The soil does not determine the power of the seed. The seed has the power built within it. It's all there. But it's up to the soil to determine what it's going to do with that seed. But as he goes and as he scatters this seed, last two points, nothing can grow without the seed. And when something grows, it will always be the same thing. He's got the same seed. He's scattering the same seed on all of these soils. Guess what? Whatever grows from that seed is always going to be the same thing. Remember Genesis chapter 1? When it talked about the plants that God had created and they all reproduced after their kind. And that's what a seed does. A seed will only reproduce after its kind. It doesn't change up and reproduce something else. It only produces one thing. Why is Jesus talking about seeds? What's the heavenly meaning? What's the heavenly meaning of this earthly story? He's not talking about seeds. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, he tells us the seed is the Word of God. And here in Matthew chapter 13, he tells us in verse 19 that the seed is the Word of the kingdom. And so what this sower is doing, he is sowing the Word of God. Where is he sowing it? Everywhere that he possibly can. He's trying to take the seed, and it's the same seed wherever he goes. But every soil, every soul, every person needs this seed. Look in verse 19. I want you to see this in every verse. Look in Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone, read with me. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Look down at verse 20. He received the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word. Look in verse 22. He received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Look at verse 23. He received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word. Four times, what do you read? Here's the word, here's the word, here's the word, here's the word. Every person you meet needs the seed. Every person you meet needs the opportunity to hear the word of God. This sower was doing his job. Am I? This sower was taking that same seed and scattering it every soul. He didn't adjust the seed. Well, let me tweak the word. Let me tweak the gospel. I don't think this person will respond to it this way, but let me just take a little off, or let me add a little bit on. Let me see if I can get it to fit this person. It's not our job to get the word to fit anybody. It's not God's job to get the word to fit me. Guess what? I'm supposed to change me to fit the word. You see, the power is in the word of God. The end result of whatever grows, the end result is not based upon the power of the soil. Power is not in me. The power is in the Word of God. When you find somebody that you think, oh, they just won't listen to this, you're discounting the power of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that it's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Word of God. It's able to save any souls, James chapter 1, verse 21 says. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, verse 16 says. But there can be no growth where there is no word seed planted. Next Sunday night, we'll be looking at some parables that we'll talk more about this, but let me just make the point here. Do you want the church to grow? If you're a Christian, you do. You want the church to grow? The only way it will grow is you've got to plant the Word of God. There's not another way. Not some magical cure that's going to cause it to grow in any other way than to plant and to water the Word of God. And when we do that, guess what comes up? When you plant the Word of God, guess what it creates? Guess what grows from it? A New Testament Christian. That's all this will create. Not any other kind of Christian, but a New Testament Christian. The only thing that this word will bring about, will produce, is a Christian just like the Christians that were in the first century. Not some man-made Christian, a Jesus-made Christian. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. What are disciples? They're Christians. How do you make them? By baptizing these people into a brand new relationship with God. You make somebody a Christian by teaching them so that they believe in Jesus and are baptized into Christ. That's how somebody becomes a Christian. And when they obey this word, everybody becomes the same thing. That's sermon number two. That's parable number two. So we talk about the parable of the sower, and that looks at the man, that looks at the person. And what's he doing? He's taking the seed, and so maybe we could talk about it being the parable of the seed. But what is he doing with that seed? Think about the parable of the soils. Got the sower with the seed, but he's taking that and he's casting it out on the soils. And look at how there's four different soils that is cast upon. Look in chapter 13, verse 4. First of all, it's cast upon the wayside soil. What's that? Hard. Hard soil. Will not allow the seed to penetrate into that soil. But some of it, verse 5, goes on the stony soil. What's that? Very shallow. There's some soil there, but it's very shallow. It's got a stone. It's got a rock right underneath it. And so it doesn't have a lot of room for growth there. It's got a third soil. What's that? The thorny soil. Well, there's more soil for this one, but there's also thorns that are growing. And so when the seed grows here, all of its growth is stunted and choked out by those thorns that are also there. But then some of the seed goes on the good soil, the productive soil, where it goes in and it begins to grow and to produce fruit. Why is Jesus talking about agriculture? Why is he talking about sowers and seeds and soils? Why is he talking about four different soils? That's the earthly story. What's the heavenly meaning? What's his point? And this is one of those parables. Look over in verse 19 and following. This is one of those parables where Jesus tells us the meaning. And that's why I had Trevin read from Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8 and verses 11 through 15 is a parallel account where Jesus is telling us, he's telling us the heavenly meaning. What's the heavenly meaning here? Heavenly meaning is when you go out today, God doesn't want you to go out here and figure out what kind of soils out here in the island, what kind of soils out there in front of your car, and what kind of soils on the property next door, and what kind. He's not going asking you to go and figure out all the soils. He's asking you to go out and focus on the souls of people. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, he uses the word heart. What Jesus wants us to see is not different soils, but we understand that. Some of you have a green thumb. Some of us have a black thumb. But we understand soils. Jesus wants us to understand souls. Some people we meet will have a hard heart. They'll be like that soil that's so hard it won't even let the seed penetrate. You're going to meet people that have a hard heart that will not even listen. They hear the word, but they won't let it penetrate. Some people you meet, well, they're a little bit better than that. Because some people you meet, their heart is open. It's receptive at least. And so they're like the stony soil. And the stony soil that you have here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 and over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 5 is it's shallow. But it's shallow enough to allow the seed to penetrate. But while it penetrates, it doesn't have enough room to grow. And so after a while, it falls away and dies out. Sometimes people have questioned, once a person is saved, are they always saved? Or is there something they can do to be lost? What does this tell us? These people were saved. They grew, they became a plant, and yet times came that caused them to fall away. You've probably met people like that too, who quickly became a Christian, but they didn't stick very long. Sometimes there are hearts and souls that we meet that are like that thorny soil. The seed can get down into the heart and penetrate, and it grows and it springs up, and they obey it and they become a Christian. But what happens? Luke chapter 8 and verse 14 says, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. What's happening here? This point right here that's talking about the shallow heart, that point right there is talking about the fact that there are external things that are causing me. There are external things that are causing me to fall away. But the crowded heart, the thorny soil, that's internal stuff. Where my cares, what I want, my desires, my riches, the pleasures, things that make me happy, they choke the word out and they fall away. But then there's the good soil, one who receives. And what Jesus says in Luke 8, verse 15, the one who, this good ground has the word of God, hears the word of God with a noble and good heart, he keeps it, and he bears fruit with endurance. The point of Jesus' parable of the soils is twofold. Number one, these are the kind of people, these are kind of hearts that you're going to meet when you go and take the word of God. But what's your job? Just to sow. Sow it everywhere. Don't be worrying about, well, I'm not going to give it to this soil because they won't listen. That's not our job to decide who's going to listen. We just sow the seed on every soil possible. But just realize they're going to receive it differently. That's point number one of Jesus. But point number two Jesus is bringing out is to say that you have one of these hearts. Which one of these hearts is you? The hard heart that won't let it in? Shallow heart that lets it in, but only for a little while, because when tough times come, I can't stick out this Christianity thing. The crowded heart I've got too many other things going on in my life. I don't have time for this Christian thing. It's kind of nice when I've got it, but is your heart too crowded? Or do you have that productive, fruitful heart? It's easy for us to say, oh, this person, this person, this person. But when we pick up the mirror, which one am I? Parable number 4. So you got the parable of the sower. And the sower is going out. And the sower is sowing the seed on these different soils. But what I find interesting is that there's a saboteur. There's a sabotage that's taking place in every one of these. Notice the earthly story. The earthly story talks about the hard soil and what happens. The birds come. The birds come and take the seed. Then he talks about the stony soil. What happens to the stony soil? You got the sun. And the sun comes and it scorches the growth and it dies out. But then you've got the thorny soil. And what's the saboteur there? The thorns. And so here's somebody that is just listening to the earthly story. They understand. They understand birds. They understand sun. They understand thorns. And they understand that there's some soil, you can't do anything to it. It's just so good. It's so fresh. It's so productive. It's just going to grow. Whatever you plant there, it's going to accept. It's such good soil. What's the point? What's the heavenly story? Heavenly story is that the devil is busy. Heavenly story is that the devil comes along and he snatches the word out of some people's hearts before they'll even let it. That's the hard-hearted people. And what's the devil want? He doesn't want them to be saved. Luke 8 verse 12 says he doesn't want them to be saved. So what does he do? Comes and takes the word away. But sometimes it does penetrate somebody's heart, but the devil's there too. What's the devil going to do when somebody becomes a Christian? Oh, he's going to bring trials and tribulations and persecutions and mockeries and difficulties into their life to see, let's see how real they're going to be about this Christian thing. Who's responsible for that? The devil. Sometimes that seed gets down in the soil, and it's not shallow. It's not worried about external things. But, there's some things that I used to do before I became a Christian. I like that. I like those pleasures of life. And the deceitfulness of riches and all of these things start to impact. You know who's bringing those into our lives to distract us, to crowd us out? You know who's bringing those into our lives to cause us to turn away from the Lord? That's the devil. But then there's the good soil. And you know where the devil cannot operate? He cannot operate in a heart where the Word of God is active. He cannot operate on a heart where somebody is keeping the Word of God and they keep on serving God. The devil cannot operate in a heart where somebody is going out and teaching other people the gospel. The devil can't get a foothold. Because what's that person doing? Resisting the devil at every turn. As you think about the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, the parable of the soils, and the parable of the sabotage, where do you fit? Where do you fit in this parable? You're in here somewhere. Just because you're sitting in an auditorium, a church auditorium on a Sunday morning, it does not mean, just because of that, that you're the good soil. Could be that you're one of the other ones. Where's your heart today? When it comes to the Word of God today, where's your heart? Have you just closed it off? Not going to let it in. I know my mom and dad have been trying to. I know my friends. And my friends even invited me to be here. But I've just been closed off to God for so long. I'm just not willing to let it. I'm just not willing to open up. Can I encourage you? If that's where your heart is, to just take a peek. Just take a peek. See what it says. See what God wants you to know. Tim Cox said it this morning. He got up here and read from Romans chapter 5. Talked about how God's love for us sent His own Son to die for us. He read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What do you have in your life that God didn't give you? Even if you're not a Christian today, guess what? Everything that you have, God gave it to you. Will you open your heart? Are you that shallow heart? You're not really sure about this Christian thing? Can I encourage you? Spend more time with God. You know, some relationships are kind of shallow. Don't look at anybody. Sometimes relationships are kind of shallow. Somebody might talk about a marriage and their marriage, you know, they're just not really close to each other. Well, how do you get your relationship to stop being shallow? How do you get closer to somebody? You spend time with them. Spend time with him. And if you're that thorny, crowded soil, you've got too many things in life, cares, riches, and pleasures. And that's what's taking up the room in your heart. And you don't have enough room for this. May I plead with you to go home and clean house. Go home and do a renovation. Tear down some things and tear them out and get rid of them. Because what matters in eternity is that my heart is open, receptive to the Word of God, and not just that, is growing and productive and serving and fruitful in His service. Where are you today? Are you today the good soil? Are you ready to receive and to respond to what the Lord has called you to do? If you'll respond to His Word, guess what you will become today? Same thing they did in the first century. Because this seed, this Word, it only produces one thing: New Testament Christians. How do I become a New Testament Christian? I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I need to look at my sins that put Jesus on the cross. I don't want those anymore. I need to turn away, repent of my sins, and turn in the direction of God, ready to confess my faith in Him. And if you're ready to do that today, you can be baptized today. That's what Jesus said to do in Matthew 28. You become a disciple, to become a Christian, you've got to be baptized into Christ, baptized into a new relationship with Him in order to have all of your sins washed away. That's not some Church of Christ doctrine. That's not some preacher made it up thing. That's what Jesus said to do. Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting?" That's a good question. Why don't you today arise and be baptized so that the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins, so that you today can be raised to walk a faithful, productive, serving life with Jesus. If we can help you get your life right with Him, don't keep Jesus waiting. Come right now as together we stand and sing.